Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. I'm very privileged to have a phenomenal businesswoman. She has created a very cool fragrance line and skincare line, and she's world renowned for this. And she does so much in terms of not only the industry, the perfume industry. Also, the fact that she does give back to charity and she does a lot to kind of help change the world, that she's visited a lot often, more often than not. Kim Bodaro is on with us right now. How are you doing, Kim?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. Can you tell us a little bit of background about how the company got started?
I was a mother of three raising kids, and, my background was in marketing and actually some law and paralegal, but always cared about, using holistic products, aromatherapy, essential oils or herbs, cooking healthy. And even in their healthcare, I wanted, what can I do to help alleviate headaches and stress? So I seemed to want to turn to more holistic methods and essential oils. And, as we progressed and moved on in different stages in houses, I was remodeling houses, and I always wanted them to smell a certain way and, smell like fresh and like a spa. So, fast forward for a number of years, I went ahead and took clinical aromatherapy classes. At the time, the school was called the Australasian College of Healthcare Science. It's now the American College of Healthcare Sciences. So, I embedded myself into it and kind of became a scholar of it, and was working with, volunteering with children with brain cancer through, I'm on the board of a women's children's hospital here, a women's board, and also doing some work for the American Cancer Society. And I thought, why don't I tie what I'm learning into not only my own family, but helping others, and especially bringing some uplifting moods or, something to help with depression in these patients that I'm volunteering with, and reach out whichever way I could. And, I embedded in it and studied it and started creating scents. The cachet is with essential oils, there's a lot of naturals, which are, of course, I'm working with naturals, where there's a lot of molecules and there's a lot of allergens to molecules, in the molecules. So I had to be careful working with somebody with a compromised immune system and what I could use. So, very careful. It's very touchy. It's not as easy as it sounds to do. So, and in turn, I was using the oil to create scents for myself to wear. And I used trips that I had taken for inspiration. And I, one in particular scent that I created was from Mallorca, Spain, and anybody could use it. It just made you feel like a temple. It calmed you. The oils that I used in it were uplifting and yet calming. The ingredients I put in it were pretty addicting to smell, and it turned out to be, this was one of those accidents, an aphrodisiac, the combination of the oils. So I went from also helping and creating some scents for my friends, a couple friends that had cancer, simple calming oils, to creating an aphrodisiac. So I went from helping one situation into another, and we nicknamed the oil addiction. And, through that and my demands for it, people were saying, I have to have this. I sent it home. I ended up sending an event for Dennis Miller. The comedian had come to town for an event to the hospital, and we had a party for him at my house. And I sent it through nebulization in the air. And it just creates a mood. I believe in scent, lighting, and music to change a mood and uplift and create an atmosphere and an environment. And it's exactly what it did. And then, when it became in such demand, a young friend dying of cancer said to me, you never know what tomorrow is going to hold. You should just pursue your dreams, whatever you want to do. And it hit me hard, and it's exactly what I did. I decided to make it into a perfume.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, first of all, I call that a happy accident with what you're talking about. But you were talking a little bit about the idea of the perfume, and there are a lot of perfumes out there that aren't hypoallergenic as much as maybe yours is as well. So yours is a nice alternative because some women maybe may not be able to wear certain kinds of perfume just because they could have an allergy to it as well. So that's obviously a huge benefit to your product.
Yeah, and one thing there in particular, different florals seem to have more, cause more, not necessarily allergens, but people get headaches from it. And headaches aren't necessarily an allergy, but there's some that are pretty potent smells that pungent, and it doesn't have to be a high content of it. It's just the certain, you get somebody that wears magnolia or too much jasmine, and it can really, I know I feel it. You can feel it in your sinuses. You just feel, even with the synthetic scent, some florals have a tendency to cause more headaches than anything. I have always loved men's colognes and very earthy and sensual, and I love exotic oils. So none of mine are very floral. What I tied in was very grounding scents of patchouli and sandalwood and clove and ylang-ylang, which is an aphrodisiac, and then you mix it with grapefruit, believe it or not. So citruses are all around really good. Most people love citruses. So all of my scents have citruses in them, because that's the uplifting effect. You use a resin or, a type like a patchouli or a musk and the sandalwood and oud, which are very grounding, the barks, you see them a lot in incense, and very Middle Eastern, very Asian. Those are the grounding part. You get uplifting and grounding. And the sensual side, I usually tie in a little bit of, which the ouds and the patchoulis and stuff are very sensual, but you have to mix it up a little bit and create your own. It's like a blank canvas, and I'm throwing different colors on it to create something. And then I throw in maybe a tiny bit of a floral, Casablanca lily is in the one from Morocco. And then the vanilla kind of rounds it out and makes it smooth. One from Sicily, I add honey, which is a note that not many people use, but between the almond, the honey, and the citrus in that one, it's a great combination. And it's just like when you cook or you bake, you use baking soda. You wouldn't eat it raw, but cooked in a cake, it's wonderful. The ingredients that I use, if you were able to smell it alone, you would say there's no way you use that. I mean, they are pretty pungent, but when you mix it with the other oils, you create such a beautiful alchemy of, it's like a song. It's definitely the romance in a bottle. And every drop that I put in represents a place, a destiny that I've been. And I try to use the highest end ingredients I can get. There's a lot of government regulations going on in the chemical industry. And, they are considered chemicals because they're produced in a perfume house. So we're being limited daily. It's changing quite frequently what we can use by eliminating the natural sandalwood and many other ingredients that I don't study the chemicals as much as my perfume house does. I create a beautiful scent and I go to them and I'm like, now we've got to turn this into a perfume. And the one thing I want to talk about is people get confused with perfume, and most men think a perfume is a woman's fragrance. Perfume just stands for the amount of oil in that fragrance that perfume you're buying. Now, there's fragrances in everything. We have our soaps and our detergents. So fragrance is just such a broad term. But when you add 15% of oil or more into a perfume, that is a true perfume. Below that, you get anything between eau de toilette and the colognes, down to very watered down. You're getting water and alcohol with a little bit of fragrance. They don't last long, and they're usually synthetics. Now, they're great, but they're fun, they're inexpensive, and they're mass market, and that's the difference. So men, it's nice educating them that, yes, it says perfume, but you're only buying something that's a higher quality ingredient. It's cubic zirconia versus a diamond. So, that's the difference. And above that becomes an elixir. It's a very prestige oil to buy.
Yeah, I was thinking about, what's probably the most important thing that you've learned through this process of working with scents?
It is amazing when I get to do a personal appearance and I meet customers or fans of the line, and they come and they tell me a story. When I first put this on, this is what it reminded me. It took me back to when I was in Thailand and this experience happened. And I try to use, when I travel, I try to get embed myself into temples and understanding religion and culture. And I try to work with some kind of a charity or do something with a charity when I'm away. And the spiritual part of it, when I put into the product, I'm glad that when somebody uses it, it either takes them to a place or that says, I feel so alive when I feel special. There's something different about this. And to see the reaction of somebody that's got the blues or whatever, and you give them a scent to wear, and or they try it on and they light up, you get that smile. And I tell people, play with it. Don't take it so seriously. Don't try to rip it apart, every ingredient and every note. Just put it on and wear it. And the best way to do it is when you're nude, out the shower or whatever, spray it on your body, because the warmth of your body throughout the day, you will help emit that fragrance. And everybody's body chemical is different. You know, pH is different, so it's going to smell a little different on everybody, especially with the natural oils. And it's beautiful. And then layer it. Layer them up. You can put on Noche del Fuego, which is so grounding, and that's the aphrodisiac. I wear it every day. And then you can top it with Beso del Mar, which is a scent of Cortez, the kiss of the sea, and it's very fresh and light. It's at 15% oil, and you layer those, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how has it been for you to, you know, work with different ingredients from different places? And you mentioned that, you know, obviously with the FDA, working a little bit against you in terms of what you can use. But, you know, what does it mean for you to be kind of, you said you go to temples and you go and you do world traveling. Obviously, you're looking for ingredients as well. I mean, what's it like for you to kind of, explore these ingredients and maybe some people haven't experienced yet?
It's still very, I'm so grateful for every experience I have in. Some of them I'm in and I sit there and I'm like, pinch me. I'm in this. I'm feeling this. I'm engaging with this culture that's been so foreign. And as a youngest girl, the youngest I can imagine, I remember looking up to the sky and seeing airplanes fly over going, I want to be on one of those. And I was intrigued by other lands and other cultures, especially more exotic than what I knew about, what I read about, or what I would go through in views. We didn't have computers, so I'd pull up the Encyclopedia Britannica off the shelves and go through them, and my dad got National Geographic, and I would remember going through National Geographic front to back. And now I'm sitting through these ancient temples, whether I'm in Japan or Amman or, you know, anywhere I travel to, I just enjoy smelling the incense, the fires, watching what they do, the flowers, the ingredients. And one of the things I love to do is talk to the locals and just kind of feel what they're like, and then meet with a chef of a restaurant locally and say what ingredients are, you know, relevant to the area, what's grown here that I can't get anyplace else. And the scent I'm developing now, which is Kasmarin from Bali, which means fall in love, it's a musk pepper I'm going to use in this fragrance. And you don't see it very much, and it's hard to explain, but I've got the seed pods, and you break them, and it's musky, but it has this little bite of pepper, which is a little spicy, and I like my life to stay a little spicy. I like my ingredients and my fragrances to have this life in them that the spice brings. So, you know, that it's fun because I bring the people and wherever I am, and because this is the latest one I'm developing from Bali, I got to pull in some workers at the hotel. I said, I'm going to give you all a project. I'm going to give you some words in English, and I want you to transcribe them in Indonesia, in your language, because they were from all over the place. So I gave them a few words or phrases, and this one gentleman, I pulled his they put him in a pot, you know, and I pulled it out, Kasmarin, and I pulled it out and said, this is it. This is such a beautiful word, and it meant fall in love. So they were thrilled to be part of it, and I took pictures with them, and I said, you will be part of the story now. And the story is how I fell in love with the people, how I had a nice romance while I was on my spiritual journey in Bali. So all of it's important to me. And really, when I get back to the States, I do videos when I'm away, but I really like to make social media posts and kind of talk about the people and the culture, because so many, we get so caught up in our bubble, in our box, in the country, and what media has given us, that I just want to say, let's have tolerance of other, you know, we are what we are here. Let's accept and have tolerance for these other religions and these other cultures, because they're beautiful. And not everybody needs to be like us. It would be a vanilla planet if everybody was like us. And so I try to kind of edit, and people are like, I'll never get a chance to go there, but I appreciate the journey and you sharing it with me. And that's the one thing I always want to do, is be able to have this experience, develop these products, and bring a little culture and work with a charity that directly benefits the areas I travel to.
Is there any places that you haven't been yet that you're kind of dying to go to?
Istanbul, and that is on my list for Istanbul in Thailand, and I'm going to be in Santorini next month, and Istanbul's right there. So I am trying to hop a flight over and stay in Istanbul for a while, but I'm going to be in Greece for a little while, and I'm not sure if I have the time to do it, but, you know, crossing my fingers that I can make it happen while I'm so close. And that's one of the reasons I do it. If I'm working in the Middle East, you know, in Dubai or Abu Dhabi and Oman, and you know, the Middle East is such a great market and wonderful people that I work with there, easy to hit these other countries since I'm close by. Well, I'm in Greece, and I'm like, well, there's Istanbul. It's crazy if I don't go. And, you know, I watch what's going on with the government, and I'm on with the State Department, so I can write into them, or I get notices from them, don't go, don't, you know, this or that. And it's not, you know, it's not on high alert right now, so it's one of those ones I can feel confident going to as a single woman.
Now, you mentioned that, I mean, you do a lot of traveling, obviously, and all that as well, and you're obviously a very successful businesswoman. I mean, you know, what does that say to you in terms of, you know, I know we're seeing kind of a trend lately, and I'm a fan of Shark Tank. I absolutely love that show. Well, we're seeing a lot I see a lot of women. Some of these are stay-at-home moms. Some of these are just women that found a calling in order to create their own company. I mean, what does it mean to you to kind of be a female entrepreneur? And having started, you know, a little bit later in your career, you were paralegal for such a long time, and now you dove into your business. I mean, what does that mean to have that opportunity to be able to pursue your calling? Because I think we're talking a little bit about this before. You know, this is obviously a calling that came to you a little bit later in life before everything kind of went around. But tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I knew what I was doing in the beginning, when I tried to say, okay, what am I going to do? I'll try the paralegal. I'll try to work in the marketing. Every time I did something, it never felt like I belonged there. And, you know, fast forward, I met my husband and had three kids. I was a stay-at-home mom. But while I was a stay-at-home mom, I always bought books to read, to learn, you know, what can I learn about essential oils? I was a painter. I had a painting business where I painted canvases, and I painted children's furniture, and I made beautiful art. And I was more the artistic, the creative side. It runs in my family. My mother's was an artist. My sister is an artist. My aunt, and it ran in the family. I knew there was something more. And then when I started mixing the oils, and it became such passion that I would stay up for hours and hours reading and doing these tests and mixing, and I couldn't get enough of it. And I set up studio, and we had an old home that was restored from the 30s, and it had a carriage house over the garage. And I got up there and transformed that into my studio and all my oils. And I played, and I knew there was something bigger to it. And then as people fell in love with what I was creating, and I went to work with a company that says, I want to make this, you know, I want to build this, I want to do something, it's time to trademark my name or the name of a company. I wanted to name it something else. Everybody's like, you have to use your name. And, you know, I didn't want it to be all about me. I wanted it to be about something I loved. But they're like, no, it's simple, it's clean, we've got to use Spadaro. And I knew then it was what I was supposed to be doing. Since then, you know, creating the fragrance, I launched three in 2011. And launched the fourth one last year in 2014, went on to, and I've always tried to give the best and positive in life. I was raised that way. I was born with this kind of a brain. And then in May of 2014, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. on the olfactory area of my brain. I did not know I was losing sense of smell and taste until I had a seizure, and totally out of the blue. Said, you know, you've got to have brain surgery, you know, you're going to lose all this and you're having these seizures. So I was out for quite a few months, you know, with the surgery. It was non-cancerous, it was benign, but it became a platform. Now, the perfume, being an entrepreneur and building this business, and I knew I could do it. I mean, it was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but I loved it so much, and it felt like where I was supposed to be. I never felt like I belonged until I did this. And I embedded everything I could into finding out how you make a box. What box manufacturer am I going to use? Where does the pulp come from to make the paper? I really grounded myself, dug my roots in, and built a secure foundation, and then built the company on top of that. So once I got to the understanding what I was doing, then after the incident last year, it became a platform for greater things. When people started reaching out going, you know, your inspirational posts have always uplifted us, we're here for you, it became a platform for me to do something even better. And now I'm able to go and speak to groups of women, children, men, anybody, inner cities, women's groups, underprivileged girls, third world countries, to inspire them that no matter what age we are, what circumstances we've gone through, there's always something you can do. There, whatever level it is, it can be as small as, you know, you go take a cooking class and you prepare meals for people that need it. You do something with a gift that you're given. And the entrepreneur part is this beautiful, you know, privilege to have. But even better yet is when I lay my head on my pillow at night, I know I'm doing something greater than just doing something for myself. And it's not about the money. You know, we have to have that to survive and to pay for the products for me to produce. But it's now about this outreach I've been able to gain throughout the world. And then most importantly is leaving a legacy to my kids that they can be proud of. They can say, look what mom did. And mom started this, you know, when we were older. You know, my other two kids, or my oldest kid, daughter is 26. My son's 23. My youngest is 16. So they've seen me do this while being a mom and juggling life. It's fun though. You know, if it's not fun, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, some people will measure success by how much money you make, but people need to start to, you know, measure success by doing something great for this world, and have fun doing it. And obviously, you've done both, so obviously, I think in that definition, you're a success.
There's definitely a success, you know, to that in the friendships I've built around the world. And when I'm asked to go speak to a group that they said you can inspire and you can help, and then I get hugs and I get letters, and I've got, you know, because of you, you've helped me gain this goal or set this goal, and I've done an inspiration board. And those are the things that just, I'm elated. You can't explain how it feels.
Yeah, and I wanted to have one last question for you. It's something I was thinking about since I just, you know, I wanted to get you on the show. Is the fact you mentioned that, you know, you came from a you know, what your training was through kind of, I would say almost like a perfume chef, where you kind of picked your ingredients and all that as well. But you know, there's a lot of chemistry involved in this, and obviously you work through a perfume house on this as well, but you know, how important is it that, you know, I think that, you know, even if you don't have a chemistry, you're working with you know, certain ingredients, certain chemicals as well. I mean, how is that for you to, you know, these little girls that are wanting to grow up, and for them to have something like this as a goal, or, you know, to go into chemistry or go into something that's a little bit more sciencey than usual? I mean, obviously, like I said, you're somewhat, and I'm not necessarily a chemist, but you're kind of in that realm, as it were. But what does it mean to you? I mean, so some of these girls to look up to a gal like yourself, who started a business and kind of is in the science kind of portion of it.
Yeah, you know, I thought about this. I actually was having a conversation with my oldest daughter graduated with a biochemistry degree. So we were talking about this. I said, do you realize when I was in school, my favorite thing was chemistry in my science class? I'm not surprised I did not blow up my house as a kid. We mixed every concoction you can make. And with my mother, we made home, you know, skincare ingredients and perfumes and lipsticks. And it's nice now. Nobody encouraged me as a young girl to pursue chemistry or sciences. It wasn't, you know, we did, back then we had home ec classes. We took sewing and cooking, or we could take shop and learn how to build something. But nobody encouraged us, and it was probably the school system I was into, but nobody encouraged and said, this one really can excel in the sciences. And I don't blame anybody. It's just, it was just the times back then. So now I love just people, you know, these young girls look up to me, and I love it. If I can mentor them, I invite them into my studio, even little girls, and say, come in here and I'm going to teach you, and I'll let them make themselves a little perfume. And we take this and I'll tell them, whoa, you just need a little bit, and a little bit can go a long way. And it's fun to see their eyes light up. And somebody just posted on Facebook a couple days ago that she got home from work and her daughter had made her own little science project. And it was water and something else in a glass. And she went and picked all these flowers and different ingredients from the yard and put it in and told her mama she was making homemade perfume. And like her friend made, like me. So she goes, you have inspired her. Would you mind when we're in town if we can come see you? I said, not at all. Let her come make the real deal for you here. So yes, I love it. And the power of social media, and especially Facebook, now the little girls can watch, and it's not all fun and games as it sometimes looks, but anybody can do, play around with these oils and have fun with it. And then you find this calling, and maybe you're more interested in science class now because you see what can happen. Your hands-on experiences are, I learn through hands-on. I can't be lectured to. I have to be touching and working with it with my hands to understand it. So any little girl or little boy, anybody that wants to come in and take a look, you know, I love to encourage them. And even like watching my oldest daughter study chemistry and watching her make her own ingredients for cooking and her own body care really excites me. I'm proud of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to hear that's, you know, kind of running the family now as well, too. Any chance that you're thinking about, you know, maybe in the next couple of years, maybe some men's fragrances at all?
Well, mine are actually unisex. They are non-gender specific. The Noche del Fuego, which is the night, it means night of fire, and it's inspired by a trip to Spain, dancing with some Spaniards and with fire around us and drums beating, and quite the most beautiful night ever in Palma, outside of Palma, actually in the mountains. So the ingredients that I put in there are very much more of a seductive, sexy scent. It's very exotic, you know, but there's no really florals in it. There's bergamot, which is a citrus that's very uplifting. There's grapefruit, ylang ylang, and clove. It's like your body is a temple. Men love it. And then the other one that men wear, the most popular with my line, is Sole Nero, and it's inspired by a trip to Sicily. And watching Mount Etna smoke and the sun get covered with the smoke in the afternoon, and the sun was kind of glazed with a black veil, and I named that fragrance Sole Nero, which means black sun. Men wear this when it's citrus, musk, a little bit of honey and almond, and it's very, you know, it's just one of those that can calm you down, but yet lift. It's very uplifting spirit. But when men wear it, they love it. They get compliments. Everybody tells me all the time, oh my God, women love this. I need more. I want to coat my body with it. But it is, what they're wearing is a high quality product that has longevity. They smell it on their sheets, their body the next day, and they love that. The most feminine of all the fragrances I have is Douze Amour. It means sweet love. It's down in Morocco, and it's amber, vanilla, Moroccan jasmine, and Casablanca and lily. And it's not as floral as it sounds. It does have a little bit of in it, but I do have men that wear that too. It's the sweeter, powdery one, but it's probably the more common, I guess, if you would say, common scent. And then Beso Del Mar that just launched is definitely a unisex, and I want to compare it to, if you've got a Calvin Klein, one of the Eternities that men or women, it's more gender in specific like that. And then my boxes are red now. They'll be going to black with the bronze. And I'm sure we're changing some packaging in the next year. But they really all are, you know, it would be redundant to me to classify one as men's line when men and women should be wearing the same fragrances. If I did something like a Beautiful by Estee Lauder that's really more feminine, I would say so. But I'm not a big floral fan, so you won't be seeing any of those come out of my line.
Okay, I want to mention, you guys can get one of these very beautiful fragrances, men or women, at Spadaro.co. It's also at Nordstrom's. If you have a Nordstrom's nearby, they'll have that.
Well, I think Nordstrom's has sold out of it now. Nordstrom has sold out. I went on, and they are pretty much sold out of it everywhere. We're about to go in production into a second round. There's still some available on the website, my website, but I know Nordstrom, last time I looked,
I was just checking to see it. Nordstrom's did online does have, I think, a couple of bottles where I saw it.
Okay.
Spadaro Luxury Fragrances on Facebook and at Spadaro Perfume on Twitter, I believe. You guys check that out as well. Like I said, go to Spadaro.co and you guys can check it out there as well. Anything else I'm missing?
No, I do have one thing I want to note in honor of my mother who passed away during the production of this. I'm into numbers, and she died January 1st, 2011. 1111 was a big number in my life. She passed away the year I launched, and I launched the month of her birthday. So I created a foundation in her honor and as a tribute to those who inspire us. And so a portion of all my proceeds go to the foundation. I do global and domestic outreach with that.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely great, too. I mean, again, that gets giving back to the world, as it were, too, as well. I really look forward to, you know, hopefully when this next comes out, and definitely some of these new fragrances, hopefully in the next couple of years as well. First of all, congratulations on all the success so far, and, you know, it's going to be great to be able to see this company grow over the next couple of years. You know, thanks for taking some time out to come on the show.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem. And we'll talk to you soon. Hopefully, maybe sometime down the line.
That sounds great. Great talking to you. Have a great evening.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Skim Spadaro. Everybody, you guys can check her out at Spadaro.co. So you guys can check her out there. Also on Facebook, Spadaro Luxury Fragrances, and at Spadaro Perfume on Twitter. We're booked, for the next 3 weeks. And I will be doing live shows on Thursday for the next couple because we've been having so much demand in terms of guests. let me pull this up so I can tell you who all is going to be on in the next couple of weeks. I mean, it's going to be crazy. We've been giving a lot of demand as of late in terms of what's been going on. On Thursday at 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern, we're going to have filmmaker and slam poet J.D. Glasscock on with us, talking a little bit about his short films that are coming out as well. He has a really interesting story. He's a slam poet. He's a musician. He's a little bit of everything. So we'll be talking to him on Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. And then a week from the day at 2 p.m. Pacific, that's this coming Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, Sunila Fortane is going to be on with us. She's actually one of the stunt drivers in the new Fast 7 movie, among other things. She's a really great actress as well. So we're going to be talking to her a week from the day as well. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at SWIV. At SWIV and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. And make sure you guys check out VegasPodcasting.com. I promise I'll get to that point where I can actually get the site updated. I just haven't had enough time to do so as of late, but I need to start putting up some of those old episodes, some of the episodes we've had on recently. And it's been an interesting couple of weeks, to say the least. And I have an interview I did with a very cool gal, Samantha Hess, from Cuddle Up to Me. I did in Portland, and I aired it last Thursday. And hopefully I'll be able to get that one up on the website as well, so you can take a look and listen to that interview as well. With that in mind, we'll see you guys on Thursday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, with filmmaker and slam poet J.D. Glasscock. Like I said, follow us on Twitter at SWIV, at SWIV, and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. We will see you guys next week.